creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
This week on Culture Click, we begin our second part of our three-part series on the Hmong community. Chong Vang, owner of Chong's Noodle House in downtown Winona, continues to tell us about traditional Hmong customs. This week, we learn about common ways of getting married along with customary rituals in dealing with the deceased.
Weddings, if somebody wanted to get married, what traditionally would happen? Is it from love? Did the parents set them up? How would it go? And well, how is it different here?
I kind of classify it with marriage. We had four categories. The first marriage, what I would think of as pre-marriage, where this pre-marriage is normally done within elite classes, people who have wealth, people who have money. So they want to do this within their own family members. You know, same cousin cannot marry cousins, okay? So even with the elite, we don't do that. But in some other cultures, they want to keep that within the family. But we tend to looking for some outside people, but it has to be kind of elite or held well too. They kind of prearrange that way. And sometimes it's done through, because my friend and I are very close and we want to keep our friendship in the circle. So we prearrange that too. That would be what I call prearranged marriage. The second would be the walk-in proposal or walk-in marriage, where a young man can easily go into another young lady's house and they would just make a marriage proposal to that family. And most of the time, these are done without even seeing the lady, just parents knowing each other. Sometimes it just happened like that. Most of the time, you will see the young lady before you go in the house and make the proposal. In some cases, because our relatives are so close, so our outside neighbor, we know each other very well, we want to respect them, we want to show them honor, so we walk into their house. And the idea or philosophy behind that is, well, even though you don't see her or she haven't seen you, we know their family. They're nice people, they're hardworking people, and we know you can just go in and blend in with them. And same side with the man's family, they will say, well, we know their family, they're well respected in their own village or their own community, and if you marry her, everything will be better. Yeah, things kind of rough and you guys don't know each other in the beginning, but eventually you will. The other one is the forced marriage, where a guy can just went and saw the lady a couple of times. Even the young lady doesn't like the guy, they can, him and his buddy can just force her or pick up her and carry to his house. Then they can send out messages to the young lady's home and say, well, we have your daughter and we are ready. Then they will go in and they're making the marriage proposal. Oftentimes the mom or the dad will come and ask the daughter if she's willing to. Sometimes if she doesn't necessarily like the guy but want to be friend and she accept any kind of gifts or any kind of like a ring or bracelet or any piece of cloth, that can also ultimately turn into a relationship. So the parent will say, oh, since she already gave that to him, it's a good indication that they're in some kind of relationship already. Since that happened already, then let's proceed with the wedding. In some cases, it's really hard that the young lady will come back with them. In rare cases, yes, but most of the time, the elder will say, well, she's a young lady, she'll go sooner or later, one way or the other, so why not? There's someone there that likes her and making the proposal, we're gonna go ahead with the proposal, because you never know what the future will hold. You know, she can end up with someone who's handicapped, she can end up with somebody who is blind. So right now, even though she doesn't really like him, in the long run, they will get used to each other. And they will learn each other's style of living or work. So they will be better at that. So that's I classify third way of marrying. And the fourth, it would be more like a runaway. And that has to do more of a financial reason. The runaway, it's not because she runs and she never goes back home, but because the both of them agree that they're not going to choose to do any of those three things, especially the walk-in, because when you walk into a home and making a marriage proposal, it's a little bit spendy on that portion. In most cases in the Midwest here, you walk in, you have to give gift to mom, father, a grandma, and if you had two or three grandma in a house, then you have to give a father maybe $1,000, mother $1,000, and then grandma and grandpa. So you have $4,000 each to give. So That's why many people choose to run away, because financially they won't be able to do, which is very common. Most marriage practice that I've seen, they tend to do that, run away versus walk-in proposal. Sometimes, yeah, we know the family, and we want to respect them, but financially we don't have that kind of money, so let's do that. Then they would send people to the young lady's house to let her parents know that she's with us, and she's fine, there's nothing wrong with her, everything's okay, we're ready to make a proposal for marriage. 99.9% of the time they will accept that.
Well, I would guess here in the Midwest they would be practicing that more often.
Yeah, they will practice more because of financial reasons.
Right.
You know, you can really use the $4,000 to do something else, you know, to start your life, to buy things for you, new furniture, new things in the house. Where you go and you give $1,000 each to, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, if you, you know, have other people that, you know, are significant in living in the house, you probably have to give to them too.
So you accept the proposal, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a girl.
Yeah.
And what happens after that? How soon is the marriage? How is the marriage conducted?
Well, it allows, because, you know, when they live in villages and hillsides and mountains, they don't have regular transportation like here. It can be days, it can be weeks that they can get to the young lady's house. So they like to do that as quickly as they can. So maybe within a week, they'll finish and do it. In traditional belief, the sooner the better, because you don't want them to kind of hang in, and maybe there may be some issues that come along, so they want to get rid of that and do get quick marriage, and then we'll all go home. We will travel 3 or 4 days home, so we will do that. So sometimes they do that within the day or so. But here, it's a little bit different. We live by time and schedule. So sometimes the family will say, well, we like to post the wedding for a few weeks until all our family members from other places to join us. So sometimes they're okay to postpone the wedding until a later date.
It is pretty different.
Yeah, it's a huge feast. Sometimes the wedding can go on for a day and a half or so. Sometimes it's very quickly, maybe about 3-4 hours, the wedding is over.
I know that with my great-great-great-grandma, Polish here in Winona,
she
found out she's playing jump rope, 14 years old.
Yeah.
Mother comes outside, says, go get your church clothes on. You're getting married now. And literally at the church the same day.
Uh-huh.
And it was arranged. A guy she had seen around, you know, but about a 10-year difference between the two of them.
Yeah. But see, again, it's within the family circle,
right.
and you don't want to lose that connection. You want to keep that connection alive. And So that's why.
That's interesting, So what about births? Are there any religious type things that happen with the births, or separate types of celebrations that happen that may be different from traditional American culture?
We don't do very much with childbirth, maybe just a little prayer and then get together, and that's pretty much it. But in the traditional Hmong culture where shamanism is practiced, they always do what they call hupli after the child's birth, when the shaman normally chant or do the spirit calling and to help the child to, you know, more like a pray for us as Christians to have the child feel better or get rid of the evil spirit and feel better. So that's what they do in terms of birth. So there's no major celebration, just within the family circle that they know that we have a new child in the home. That's pretty much it. The Hmong religion is like Kao Kalia said, you're either born to it or you're not. You're not that religion. And nothing like Christianity or missionary where we have to go and we have to convert people to that. The Hmong religion, you're either born into the family. When you're born, you are in that cult, you are in that religion. Okay, whether you like it or not, you are a part of that. So in terms of religion, it's no recruitment, but it's really, really hard when someone deceased. And then you have to have normally an elderly deceased, let's say a great-grandma or grandpa passed away. The ceremony lasts about, you know, a few days. The richer you are, the longer you have. And the idea behind that is if you do that for the older person in that family will receive wealth and health. They, in respect to family members and others and gaining all this prosperity, they went ahead and do that. So in the traditional culture, animals will be slaughtered, and they will be, depending on if that person has like 4 or 5 sons, each one had to slaughter an animal. It has to be a cow or a bull. So when you talk about animal society and you talk about animal brutality, you know, in Christianity, we don't do that. We only do what is needed. So maybe two or three brothers can combine for one. So not many animals will be slaughtered. But if you belong to traditional religion, many animals will be slaughtered. The idea here is that in the traditional culture, there's no such thing as heaven. There's Hades, where it's very cold. There's no way you can grow your food. There's no way you can raise animal. So the idea is that in the underworld, once they slaughter, the dead can help take those cattle and raise cattle in the underground world. So the more you kill, the more animal he or she will be able to take with him or her to Hades. And what they say is, that's the thing that we keep questioning. Well, if you know there's no, how poor it is over there, why can't people just convert to Christianity where we have hope that we're going to go to heaven someday? Those are some of the debate questions. But in traditional religion is, hey, you can't change what I am because they have been here from one generation to another.
So if somebody were here in Winona and an elder dies, right, and they mm-hmm. want to be buried in the traditional sense, where does somebody go to do any of that here or try to keep it as traditional as possible?
Sometimes they will rent large lodge or they will do it at the home. Sometimes they have a funeral home that will allow them to have the practice, but the slaughter is in a different site. The tradition will start to disappear because more new generation are coming up. It's easy to go just what the tradition, the mainstream culture versus the traditional culture. And even within the funeral home, you have to have someone to guide the dead. And the person who guide them have to know how to guide this person. The monk believe the spirit is the strongest component within the body. Without the spirit, the person would die. Now, if the person who lead doesn't know how to trick the spirit of the dead, the spirit of the living may be trapped, and then he would, or she, normally it's a he, would feel ill and eventually die because the spirit could not come back into his body to return home. Sometimes they would trick the dead. Once he sent the person who died to Hades, there would be other people joining the dead there, like relatives. One way of doing it, he had to be clever and he had to be smart. They were at the spirit. When did he leave? Well, he has gone home yesterday already. But basically, he was still with the dead person. Tricking that he's gone, you guys don't need to wait for him. But if he doesn't know that trick, they will certainly trap him. So he had to be very clever how to guide the dead to his family members. You have to be very trickery with the dead because they are smart and they will drag your spirit with them. And once your spirit is with them, you can't come back to reality. Because when the spirit leaves, the person dies. The spirit doesn't actually leave the body yet. Still kind of wander on earth, wander around in the home. So he has to guide the spirit back into other family members who are in Hades. They don't really title it called Hades, but at this place where it's really hard to grow food, raise animals, and there's nothing to eat over there, that's what they call. But my terminology is compared to Christianity, it's called Hades. They don't call hell yet. It's more like Hades.
Yeah, it's cold versus the hot, you know, in Christianity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's very fascinating in the traditional culture. And having something like that, it's really, really difficult. And even in marriage, you have to have elders that know how to, you know, do the patterns of marrying and how to negotiate and how to talk with other people. You have to know that. And it's just really difficult to do all of that. Where you have here, okay, we have the church, we'll go to the church, the minister will just give a ceremony and then do the vow, and that's it.
And then seems like it's simpler to do it that way than do it the traditional
then
way.
Then here we go, we have a beautiful catering food, cake, we get to meet our friends, share some champagne together, amen, we're done. We're here, no, you're not quite done yet. You have to follow those patterns and steps, how to make the wedding work. Even with the funeral home, you spend hundreds and thousands of dollars for a funeral, especially an elderly person, because she will have other sides of the family who will have grandkids and kids. So all of them will come, and the sides of the immediate family will have cousins, uncles, all of that. They will bring the family. So when you do a funeral ceremony for the family, you're losing about $10,000 to $20,000. So now, being as children, you have to work hard, you have to find ways to earn that kind of money set aside. That's why many people are discovering that life insurance is probably the best way to go. Now they're learning the American system that, they have that as an assurance. Because without that, where are we going to find the money? So it's really hard.
That I can see that, especially if you're, again, immersing into the new culture and you're already having the financial challenges and then something like that happens.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what's right, what's wrong again.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
but that's a battle.
And they have to play. I don't know if you have seen the thing before, the long pipe kind of instrument.
Okay. Yeah.
That they also use in a funeral home. Sometimes they use for other stuff, but typically they use in a funeral home. And you have to know how to play that. You have to find people that knows how to play that instrument, and not many people knows how. That is also used to guide the dead to go along. But you have to have the person who know how to direct the traffic or even to assist the dead, the spirit.
We invite you to join us next Thursday afternoon at 12:30 for our final installment on the Hmong culture. Chong will discuss Hmong holidays, traditional dishes, and some of the differences between the various Hmong communities. We will continue to learn about the Hmong culture, specifically here in the Midwest, next week, here on Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.